You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Ball Talk of Liberty Podcast. This is episode number 230 of East St. Trinity's favorite podcast. I'm Jeremiah Morrill. Today I'm joined by co-host. You want to be a co-host today?
Co-host is inflated.
Co-host Jesse Riddle.
Hello.
Special featured artistic guest, Mark Foltz.
Not Mark Brim.
Mark.
We can't hear you, buddy. Go ahead and get swallow that microphone. I need you to put that thing in your throat.
It's not getting any more in my throat than as it is. I promise you.
We have video and executive producer and audio producer Zach Burcham, sometimes normally co-host, but he wanted to be out of camera today.
Video editor, you said?
Video executive producer. Well, we can give him all kinds of titles.
I don't know. Well.
He's also our bar wench. If we need a drink, the guy that's never had a beer is responsible for getting us drinks.
If we could put him in a skirt, make him get drinks for us, I'd pay him.
And we have Betsy Mills, our patron, our friend, and recently announced candidate for State Representative District 54. The county council meeting just finished up, so Betsy's going to hang out with us for at least a little while, and we're going to talk about her big announcement last night in the Hoosier Gym, and she's going to tell me what I heard is correct, or if I'm dancing around the interpretation of the way the night went. I'll let the audience make their own mind up as to how it went down. So that's the show we got lined up. It is a show about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you, other times we'll make you laugh, but hopefully you'll always learn something new. We spent a good 15 to 20 minutes doing a very embarrassing Patreon. If you turn red,
I don't think you can say that anymore either.
Squirmish. I think your face gets you get flush. If you get embarrassed, and we talked about some very embarrassing things for the prudes.
I must have been asleep
out there.
Somebody go join our Patreon and figure out if
see what we were talking about. But it was fun.
Is that a segue?
It was exciting content, I think.
and then it turned into
some football talk too, because Mark got really nervous. How about them Colts?
I fell asleep. I did fall asleep. I forgot.
You unplugged your headset at one point. You were so offended by all of it. Bored. You ripped it out so you couldn't hear anything. You sat in the corner and pouted. I remember the way it went well.
And Daddy Jeremiah fixed it for me.
I'm here to help.
Big Daddy Jer.
I hate
Big Daddy Jer.
You know, Betsy's going to be in the state house, and you're embarrassing all of us, Jesse.
I was going to say, it's risky coming on the show when I want. I'm just going to say that.
You know, I'm kind of used to it at this point. Like, you just never quite know what's going to go on.
We're trying to get those,
full parks and recreation, but unfortunately, you came on Crazy Ira and the douche night. So
it's all good.
It's the douche. No, but.
We're just trying to pull some of those, undecided voters. That's why she's
I'm the one who crashed your party. I'm the one who said, hey, I got out of council early. What's going on? So.
Did you raise my taxes tonight?
No.
Oh, thank God. All right. I love it
when you guys raise my taxes.
All right. Yeah,
not going to happen.
I hope. I'm going to be a forever sad.
I would do just
I've
about
anything. I've had my heart broken before.
I would do just about anything to prevent that. So, but also I would acknowledge that the state has these billions of dollars in excess funds and they bleed us dry and it's really unfortunate. So local government, I mean, the way Indiana's tax structure works, they put all the pressure on us to raise taxes. So at the state level, they can say, oh, we're such fiscal conservatives. I mean, it's just it's trash. Well,
when we each ran for state rep or state rep, we only each ran for state, what the hell did we
county
for? 2018 county council. I was saying that they the state puts the gun in your hand and makes the county pull the trigger.
Absolutely. Every time.
That's the,
that sucks.
What kind of gun the way it's designed. I think it's a revolver yeah, it's because you got the whole, you hear it crack and then you get the protesters and then, yeah, the whole, I think that's the way it works out.
Nice.
I will say this, your Henry County Council, there are seven fiscal conservatives who are desperate to never raise taxes. So I don't want to speak for my colleagues, but I sense this about them very strongly based on the years of budget sessions we've had together. So,
man, but I remember a lot of times they've done it. Anyway.
Well, they always be like, it's for EMTs and all, they do it through other means.
Anyway, we have to say thank you to Christy Avery, John Phillips of Andy Moore Buick GMC, Anthony Meyer, keeping the country fed. He's got a lot of stuff to pull out of the ports to get this country back online. And Fiddler's Green Cigar Company, Chris Lamb for the support of the Patreon. If you jump on the Facebook page, there's a link to the TeachUp store if you're watching live, or you can jump on BossHuggerLiberty.com for all the merch that's out there. So. I ventured out to a beautiful Knightstown, Indiana, Jesse Riddle's hometown. The last time I went for a political rally, Jesse went with me and he stood me up. I tried. I gave him plenty of notice, and he said, "No, I'm going to be at Chili Water with the big city folks." You gave me
a 30-minute notice on a day that I always have something planned.
I asked you weeks before.
It was yesterday.
Days. Yeah, that was the secondary ask. I had already sent it days before.
Either way,
denial.
I did go with you one night to a political rally.
We went to the Ted Cruz basketball rig.
Funny when
you said, I thought that was Ted Cruz.
I have to tell you something. So Mom and I went on a walkthrough last week at the gym. My mom did all of the decor, all of the food. She's very particular. She could be a caterer. She could be she's very, very good at throwing parties. And she's been doing
this. She's a mechanic, right?
No, she's a librarian, but she throws a lot of parties at the Middletown Public Library. Yeah. My dad was a mechanic. My mom is a pretty traditional person, but cool. She's a trailblazer. She's one of the first managing editors of a newspaper in this country, like way back. She's had this incredible career. Anyway.
Awesome. And the newspaper did oil changes. It was amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah, the Muncie Evening Press. They did amazing work before they consolidated. Anyway, Knightstown, last week, we're doing a walkthrough. The Indy Star is there doing a story because they're this past weekend at the Hoosier Gym on Saturday.
They recut the movie
Hoosiers. Yeah, they recut Hoosiers, and they added in a bunch of like storyline, I guess, about Coach like having a girlfriend, and it sort of changed like the tenor of the movie. Anyway, they're talking about that. They're gearing up for this story. The reporter's there, photographer. I was there for probably 45 minutes. Ted Cruz was talked about more than anything. And what a disgusting person. It's like, because of the basketball ring, for no other reason other than he said basketball ring, and he is never allowed to come back into the state of Indiana or the Hoosier Gym. Like, it was deeply offensive to the parties present.
That gym is literally, it's like, it's kind of funny because like you're in the gym, which has already got its own weird history, and it's, everyone's like, yeah, Gene Hackman was here. And you're like, well, cool.
Dennis Hopper, yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, all right, it's been like 60 years. Nothing else has happened here except political rallies where people don't even know the name of a basketball hoop. So,
there's been a lot of cool community events there.
Yeah.
Holcomb had a heck of a kickoff 2 years ago.
My brother graduated from high school in there.
Holcomb was there for the...
did he go to school there?
We rented it for the homeschool high school graduation.
It was so hard to find a date to book it because they're full of teams who want to come
in. Oh, yeah, they're busy. Awesome. I'm not trying to say... It's a massive... I didn't understand how massive of an attraction that thing is.
Yeah.
Someone said it either brings in like, I think they said 70,000, but I feel like it's more than that. But anyways, because I want to do Airbnb in Knightstown, mm-hmm. and they're like, why would you do that? I'm like, because there's nowhere to rent anything. Have you ever walked through Newcastle or driven through it? No. And Greenfield's the closest place, but it's like, if you could stay here, like that's going to, I'm sure to get, like, if it's a nice place to get some clientele, yeah. But.
I would spend $700 a night to stay a block away.
But at the Hoosier Gym, I've been there like
you want to go
10
minutes away, you can rent a room in our place. It's fine.
$22 bucks a night to stay in Shirley.
In the basement.
Just give me a 20, call it even.
Well, there's going to be county taxes. You know there will be.
He lives in Hancock County.
We're going to hook it up.
That's true.
He lives in Hancock County.
I'll call my friends. Just kidding. No new taxes. Just kidding.
But anyways, I was just saying, it has a lot of draw. It's like actually... I think we got a survey recently. Henry County asked us like what was like the biggest attractions, or Knightstown, maybe it was the town of Knightstown did. And I refused to talk about the Hoosier Gym.
Because you didn't want to acknowledge the elephant in the proverbial room.
Well, it's just like, yeah, like we already know that. Quit milking it and like think about other things.
You show off your assets, Jesse. Like when you show off that luxurious beard you've got
all the time.
Yeah.
It really,
especially online.
I mean, and if you look at our county and you look at our county rebranding with, you know, basketball lives here, that's what our EDC and our travel and tourism is going towards after a lot of surveying in the past year and a half. I mean, the gym is a huge part of that draw. We have the field house, we have the Hall of Fame. We're working on something interesting in Middletown I'm not prepared to talk about, but a basketball draw that would be maybe record setting. Anyway,
what is a basketball draw?
A draw that, like a tourist draw that involves basketball. Okay. It's gotcha. Early stages, but it could be very, very big, metaphorically and accurately.
Probably bigger than the big tennis shoe out on three.
Yes. Anyway, I can't talk about that. It's not my project, but we're kicking around some ideas. I think we kind of take for granted sometimes.
I think it's a monorail. Personally, I think Middletown's getting a monorail.
No, we're not doing a monorail. Anyway, early stages, but it is cool that we have this local idea. I think we sometimes take it for granted because it's
Definitely do. I've never been to the Hall of Fame, and I've been to the Hoosier Gym like three times in my life, and once was to like go talk to somebody real fast. It's completely not a thing. I'm also not a sports person. Mm. So it's completely the wrong thing for me, which is why I refuse to say it's an asset to the county.
You don't really know.
despite statistics and all the numbers and money it brings in. It's pretty funny.
It's really normal to talk to people from towns who never go to the tourist areas.
In their own town.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I bet you go to Indianapolis and like, you've ever been to the Speedway? And they're like, what? And it's like, and there's a, so that's really common because you go to somebody like, show me where to go in town. And they're like, I don't know. I just live here. And they don't go to any of the tourists.
They go, I know where the Kroger is. I know where the McDonald's is. And then I know where, they do.
I see the Hoosier Gym on the sign on the interstate every time I drive by. And there's a garden or something at that exit too. I don't know where
there's
that
is. There's a Vietnam like memorial.
Yeah. I just feel like I know there's nothing happening there.
Like, no, it's busy all the time.
Like the gym?
Yes. It's busy all the time.
Doing what? Just playing basketball?
The teams come in to play.
Yeah.
Tourists stop in. I mean, it really is a draw.
So is there like people like working there that like allowed?
Yeah, they have an amazing staff.
Ryan's mom lives there, works there.
Okay.
You can't, you have a building that is in a movie that will never be forgotten.
But again, it's the problem. Like,
don't get me wrong. I know it's there. I know about it.
The problem you don't understand the scale of Hoosiers. Like, because we hate the movie.
I've never even so seen boring. It. I'm fully aware of it.
Well,
I haven't seen it recut to explain why
the player left the team.
Apparently, it makes way more sense.
It
does. Now.
It's like all the context. It like fills all the plot holes.
Which it always made sense to me. I was like, yeah. It just sucks. That's
I'm just like, it's about basketball. I don't know.
Can we please talk to Betsy instead of talking about who she's?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we probably should talk.
Well, you brought it up. I'm joking.
I'm leaving this podcast.
All right. So the Hoosier Gym's pretty cool.
It is an iconic venue.
Absolutely.
For Henry County and all of District 54.
That's right. And I chose it because, I mean, we kicked around a lot of different venues. We talked about, like, I'm from, you know, the Middletown area. Is there anything in Middletown we would want to do? We looked at options, and I thought, let's do something centrally located for the district, which is 99% of Henry County, except for the far northeast corner, almost all of Rush County, except for the far southeast corner, and then one township in Hancock and in Shelby. And so Knightstown is sort of a really good, central location if we're looking at, you know, who's driving in and where. Yeah. Also, it's just really a kick-ass venue. It's just such a cool place. It's magical. Yeah.
It's very clean. It's a very well-organized organization.
They were amazing to work with.
Yeah. I'm sure you worked with my friend Ryan's mom, that I won't say.
I didn't meet any women there, but yeah.
Oh.
I didn't meet anyone named
Bob. It was mostly
Ryan's
Bob, and Bob is the man. He's so great.
Bob's become like a local legend
himself.
He's
awesome.
He's in everything. Every time there's a story, every time there's a picture from the gym, Bob's in the picture. I've never met Bob, but I saw him on the other side of the gym when I was walking in the other night.
I called him like five different times with stupid questions. Can we have votive candles? Like mostly from my mom, like for decor. And he was just, every time he answered immediately, he was awesome. He signed for a package we had to have shipped in for my photo backdrop. It came in at 3:30 on the day of the event.
It was very impressive. And I did not stop and get a photo with it, but I get a feeling there will probably be more events.
There will. Anyway, he was awesome. So if you want to have an event in Henry County and at an iconic venue, I highly, highly recommend the Hoosier Gym, and it's also very reasonably priced.
So I did go. I was wearing my media hat of sorts, although I did have the snacks. It was a very well done event.
Thank you.
You had a number of different speakers. Stacy Guffey was there. I was at the table with Stacy. And I think you and Stacey met here.
We did. We literally met here. Me and I came here with Steve Thompson, my best friend and campaign manager. He sat back here. I was sitting over here. Stacey was here. First time I mean, I'd always known of Stacey Guffey. Right. Everybody knows Stacey Guffey in the county. Also, everybody knows Stacey Guffey everywhere. He's a legend and just like the best dude in the world. But I met him and we just really bonded. Like, I just thought, wow, anyway, I love Stacey and it's been a pleasure to work with him on council as his liaison.
So Stacey is the county coroner. He was elected. He was on the show and was interviewing for the job of coroner. He's now our county coroner again.
He's great.
And he's the treasurer for your campaign.
He is. I'm honored to have him on the team.
So he spoke at the rally or the kickoff event.
Yeah.
The big shindig. And then Steve Thompson, your campaign manager, spoke.
That's right.
And then to me, the surprise of the night was the Republican chairman, Todd Heide, was there.
And he was a last minute fill in. One of my Luger series sisters, Allie Bartlett, who last week made history by becoming the first or the youngest partner in Beau's public affairs history. She's an outstanding attorney and an even better person. She was tied up all day in a hearing for Gaming Commission. It was about a casino in Terre Haute. This is part of her field. She was supposed to be done by 4. It didn't get out until I think 7 or she was tied up. She was horrified. So she was supposed to come speak about my work at the state level and my connections in Indianapolis and all that. And so she couldn't make it. And so Todd stepped in very last second just to say nice things.
Todd stepped in. He was very excited. And I wrote in the show notes that he endorsed her candidacy. I'm told that maybe he didn't officially endorse the candidacy. However, what I heard in my notes that I took at the event was that Chairman Heide, the Republican chairman of Henry County, said that it was time for the millennials to take over, and I almost stood up and applauded. And then he said that the boomers are done, which I was like, if Chris Bangle was here, the guy that leads our network, he would immediately become a Republican and hug Todd. And then he said, it's time for people that don't look like me, that are over 50, mid-50s, and white guys to take over. And as I look at the field of people that are in the race so far, that are on the Republican side, I kind of think he might have been talking about you. I don't know if you realize that, Betsy, but it was at your event that he's saying all this stuff. It sounded like he was pretty supportive.
Todd's a good friend, and you have to remember he's the chair and I'm the vice chair. And we've worked together for a few years, and he is such a good leader. And it is an impossible job to be a party chairman. You have no idea how much drama it can be. It doesn't pay.
Oh, you do.
So, the only person who doesn't maybe Zach Amato.
It's a thankless. No,
Jesse's run for state chairman before of a political
party. And I've been the chair of the local party.
We know the drama.
Yeah, so it's a thankless, tough job, and you have to make tough calls. And he consistently does things the right way for the right reasons, and it's been a pleasure to serve with him. So he was really speaking to having worked with me in our local party and my efforts, and yes, and something great about Todd.
Although it kind of felt like he was saying you'd be right, great for the job.
Well, I think that's true. He also, I mean, because he's not officially endorsing, but like it was something about Todd, and it's not just me. He really is so good at encouraging younger people, younger Republicans to get involved, like Steve too.
So you know, if the Republican county chairperson wanted to endorse, you would be like, I don't want any endorsements from
I'd be honored chairs. To have it, but I don't expect it before the primary. So
or the Shelby County, the
I'd Hancock be honored county. To have any of them, but I don't expect it. And I expect this is something that I have to earn, and I am excited to earn it. You know, the primaries are tough. I get it. Like we have sheriff's candidates, you know, at 4 in our race in the county, and as vice chair, I think my job is to help each of them as they come to me and ask for information. I'll give you all the same information. I think you're all great. I can't get involved.
They have races to run.
Right. And so I get the same principle. It's the same. I totally get it. So I just try to play it honestly. But I appreciate Todd's friendship, and he's been a great mentor and friend to me.
So other than that big breaking news that I saw that you slightly disagree with, what do you think are the big issues for the county? You did this really cool feedback thing with all of the audience members where there were prizes and you had people give you advice. You had people tell you what the issues were. What kind of things did you hear from the audience members last night, and how does it interact with what you thought you were seeing?
Absolutely. We went through all of those last night. I heard the answers to every single question. It seems like people are the roads to get to Knightstown were of concern. And I think a lot of that was friends from Middletown driving the back roads being like, what is going on here? They're not too bad, honestly. But roads in the county are always an issue. I think we've done really good work lately. I just commended Joe Copeland at the council meeting about the good work around Middletown. It's needed to happen for years. I think he's running a really tight ship and a good department. But yeah, roads, obviously we can do better. I think economic development is an issue, staffing and hiring right now. Inflation is a huge issue for Hoosier families. I know that we don't have a lot of say at the state level or the county level, but these are concerns people have and they're real and they impact us. And we're not a rich district. We're not a young district. We're older. We're, you know, it's lower economic, socioeconomically. I think there's a lot of concern for how we support agriculture and manufacturing. For me personally, and I think this is trickling down to my friends and people I have relationships with, but developing the interstate corridor. And that's more true for us than Rush County. But, having I-70 run through our county and knowing that Indianapolis is growing our way, that Greenfield, I mean, look at the development there in the past decade. It's coming. Let's get ready. Also, I-69, you know, where Middletown is, it just runs outside the county, but we're so close to that. And there's the development on I-69 in my lifetime has been outrageous. So
you have or nearly have three interstates. I-69 absolutely runs through Shelby County. Henry County misses I-69 by mere inches.
Yes.
And I-70 cuts through the heart of Hancock and Henry counties.
Right.
So you have 40 for whenever they're doing construction and all that other stuff.
And both times, both times I passed, going to Knightstown and coming back, and this was true last week, the interstate westbound towards Indianapolis was dead stop.
Yeah. Westbound towards Indianapolis, you can't even do from Knightstown. Hmm. So you can't, right now.
Is that still not open?
It's not open.
I know the barrels are out for most of it, but I wasn't sure if that.
I did not pay attention tonight. Yesterday it was not open.
Okay. Knightstown, you could not get on at Knightstown.
Yeah. The signage as I was pulling into Knightstown for Betsy's event last night was still up saying you can't re-enter 70.
I believe today they pulled up the last of the barricades.
Yeah.
They were finishing that up this morning, but they still had westbound traffic down to one lane.
Traffic alert from the Song of Liberty.
One other issue that I'm pretty passionate about, I just talked about at our council meeting, and I had a meeting earlier today with Councilman Aaron Dickin with the EIRPC, which is the East Indiana Central East
Regional Planning Partnership.
Yes. Anyway, a gentleman from Wayne County came over, and rural broadband is such a huge issue for us, and we really, in Henry and Rush County and in the district, it's a huge, huge issue right now. I mean, we're not post-COVID, but with the impact of COVID, with kids at home learning, local businesses, small businesses, farmers, you name it, everybody's using the internet more to survive. And we don't have good rural broadband. I personally don't. I have terrible internet at my
house. What do you suggest people do for that?
I think at a county level, we can't pay for that to happen. I think it's private partnerships. I think it's taking advantage. I mean, the stimulus bill, I'm not going to comment on the federal one, but I do know that there's a lot of money allocated to broadband. We should absolutely take advantage. The state has set aside hundreds of millions of dollars for broadband. We need to take advantage.
And I think the way that they're going to be set up is they're going to be competitive grants. So right. The communities have to bid on them. Essentially, you find partners and you find folks like Metronet or Nine Star or New Lisbon.
I mean, I literally, the reason I ask is because I'm not saying it's not a problem. It's a very small problem to me. Like, not to me, but like in general, like statistically, it's a very small problem. But it is a last mile problem, but you can get mobile and there are line of sight providers. So so that remedies a lot of problems. I'm just like, when you talk to voters, I'm trying to ask is what parts of the county are having this problem?
I mean, it's all over. It's where Nine Star, New Lisbon aren't. And so for me, I run 3/4 mile east of where Nine Star ends. I have called them multiple times over the years and said, give me a number and let me write you a check. I want that line. So I work remotely. I can hardly Zoom with my boss at Penn State because the internet's so crappy. So
in Henry County, you're saying Fall Creek Township has a problem.
No, I'm Jefferson, but yeah.
Jefferson County.
I mean, Jefferson
Township has a problem. I know Blue River Township has issues. Stony Creek Township. I mean, Liberty has its issues, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So if you look around the map and...
Yeah, I haven't recently seen a map of where our spotty areas are, but I can only speak for myself. But I hear it a lot from constituents.
But you have 4G, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I do, and I use it religiously.
Right. So that's... But which is broadband. So like that's
but it's not fiber and it's not enough to run video. It's not enough
so from a technical perspective, it's faster than what you're going to get from any DSL provider.
Yeah.
And they're not going to give you, they're never going to give you fiber. Like
I'm 3/4 mile from fiber.
I live in a town with these people and they don't run fiber. Like
Right, but you have cable available, right?
I do, but I want fiber.
Right.
And so I pay like $130, $120 for like gigabit or whatever, the fastest thing Comcast offers in my county or in my area. But 4G is faster than most of that. So from a technical perspective, like when we think about it, I'm like, why don't we just get more towers and cover it?
I've towered very close to my house. Well, trust me, I use it all the time.
Yeah, it's also a matter of a metered versus an unmetered connection.
I know. Right. I'm thinking about when you're using these things, if you're going to try to get, it's like you could get almost immediate benefit overnight just by trying to get work some sort of deal with unmetering. I'm trying to think about the problem versus like running copper and running fiber is very expensive. It's not expensive to put like erect one more tower or a couple more towers and get 5G or something else to cover the area. Plus in Rushville, they use a lot of line of sight towers.
Yeah, but anyways, County does.
I'm not trying to solve the problem tonight. I just was like, I have this conversation many times with my friends in Indianapolis.
I think it's become recognized as an economic problem.
Absolutely.
It more than just the, hey, I can't watch my Netflix. It's an educational and absolutely. An economic issue.
And it's small business. I mean, it impacts local economy. The return on investment for broadband, I've seen studies that says it's there. It's just very expensive ahead of time to install. It is very expensive.
So the question I asked last night was about land use and how we're all going to find a way to get along.
Oh, gosh.
Because I saw, you know, Rush County made a big announcement that they have a dog food factory.
Yeah, that's great news.
North side of town. It's a 120-acre site. It's going to be a very significant investment for Rush County. Going to be great for their property tax rolls. But immediately you get the not in my backyard folks to say, well, I don't want a dog food factory. They're tearing up farm ground and it's going to smell. And I don't even like pets. That's what we're going to talk about later on is people abusing service animals and the exemptions. And now we got to feed the things here too. Every time somebody builds something, we have this I don't want it attitude.
Is that actually happening? Are people complaining?
The Facebook response to John McCain, the economic development guy for Rush County, he posted this and you see the responses of, you know, people just aren't happy. How do we work on that?
Well, as someone who has very publicly said I believe in local decision making, you know, home rule, that kind of thing, I think that's important. I think when we consider these projects and citing major projects, we have to consider neighbors to a certain degree. You know, are they being respected? Is their land value being destroyed? You know, their quality of life. I think all of that's really vital. There's got to be a balance. And so I don't know where that is. I generally, everything I know about this project, and it's not a lot other than the press release and a few news articles, it seems great. It seems like a great thing for Rush County and new jobs and more money in the county's coffers. To me, it seems largely positive, but have I looked at who is impacted by this, like who's neighboring the project? I haven't. So am I worried about 120 acres of farm ground going away? No, 120 acres, that's okay.
That's the way things grow. Your yield's better than it was 10 years ago on farm ground anyway, right?
Right.
That's the way it goes. All right. So you heard about rural broadband. You heard about land use. You heard some conversations about the roads. Got to fix the roads.
Yep. Economic development, opportunity, education. I mean, I think there's a lot going on with education right now, with masking, with people are very worried about students. This didn't come from last night, but mandate of vaccines, like it's just there's a lot of really hot topics out there, and so I'm just trying to learn and educate myself.
We gotta hope, right? Like that this the conversations you're having today about masks are going to be a short-term conversation. The last time we elected a state representative, I was in high school. You were probably in high school or middle mm-hmm. school. It's a this is a generational decision potentially for the community to decide who our state rep is going to be. Tom Saunders has served since I think 1998.
I think it was 96.
Or 96. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Very long time. Heck, I may have been in middle school. Boy, I feel old.
In 96?
Yeah. I would have been high school 97 to 01.
I was middle school in 98.
Yeah.
Dang.
You're young.
Zach and I are the same age. He's the class of 2001 ish with me.
Yeah, I would have been like an eighth grader.
Yeah, so
Zach's the old man in the crowd.
It's an open seat. It's exciting, and I thank Tom for his service. I think he has always really fought hard for Henry County and the district, and sometimes that's cost him with the party in Indianapolis and the caucus, but he's always put us first. So I have a lot of respect for that.
So if folks want to learn more about the campaign, get in touch. You haven't asked for money yet, so I'm going to criticize you for that. As a guy that's been involved in a lot of political campaigns, nobody's told you how to invest in your campaign yet. Oh, how do we do it, Betsy?
Oh, I will. First of all, my website's coming. It'll be best bet. I can't say my own name. Good Lord. It's Betsy for Indiana. It's not up yet. And remember, we're 6 months out from the primary. Like, I haven't even filed officially. This is all preliminary. I have a Facebook, facebook.com/Betsy for Indiana. That's, you know, you can catch a lot of information there. I'm very accessible on Facebook. I'm very accessible online. I have a WinRed, which is a like conservative fundraising platform, and that's where you can donate money. Please give me money. That'd be great. We're off to a really good start fundraising. We had a really good, last night was not a fundraising night. It was a kickoff event. We've still brought in a good amount of money. So I'm really excited. And we have fundraisers in the works. I have a Luger series fundraiser coming up in a few weeks that I think is going to be great. We have some really, really interesting fundraisers planned. So we're thinking very, very big here.
All right. Very good. Well, you are welcome. This is totally unplanned. You literally wrapped up your council business early and said, hey, can I come pop in? I said, sure, absolutely.
I thought I'd be sitting out there. I wasn't planning to be on the mic. I just thought I'd sit in studio.
You're welcome with us as long as you want to hang out. Christy Avery's watching the chat. And she says she's already donated.
She did. Christy, thank you so much. You're so good. Love Christy.
So you're welcome to hang out for the rest of the thing. I guess I'll ask you about council. What happened tonight at the council meeting? Anything of note?
Tons of like transferring money. I don't really understand what this means, but the GIS coordinator in the surveyor's office has asked for money for a new plotter, and it would benefit the whole county. I guess ours is 20 years old and
plotter, obsolete. A plotter prints.
Yes,
it's a big old printer. Mark's getting pointed at for knowing. I used to use plotters back in the day.
And so she made a pretty compelling case about why we needed it and who it didn't, not just their office, but how it impacts nearly every county government office and also the community that can take advantage. And it just seemed like a really obvious transfer of funds. We heard insurance updates. I mentioned our meeting with the EIRPC gentleman today when Aaron and I met with him, and just the importance of really thinking about broadband, and maybe we need to form a task force like other counties have to see what we can do, especially when there's all this money like coming in from the state, from the federal government. Like, we really should be thinking about that. There were many other updates as well, but those are the ones that are striking.
I'm taking a picture of us.
I just got to
have it in case she walks out on me before we finish the show.
Oh gosh,
Mark, where'd your boy Jesse go? Did he leave in anger?
He went to poop. I don't know.
He's disappeared.
We'll find out in just a second.
Zach, you got any questions for Betsy? Anything? No. Anything burning? You want? I mean, I feel like this is your chance to lobby for more campsites out at Summit Lake.
Oh yeah, please get on that.
I want. Okay, so I don't have a camper, but I would really like more opportunity to rent something at Summit Lake.
They had a little cabin and they took them out.
There was one cabin and it's gone.
Yeah, so I would really like that opportunity. So I will lobby them for that.
So I've talked to Representative Saunders, and he was like, we need an inn out there.
That'd be awesome.
Inns bring in a tremendous amount of tourists that come in. And
could that be on state grounds?
Yeah. Brown County has an inn. Lincoln's, I don't know if Lincoln does.
Why do we not have that already?
Oh, yeah, Brown County has tons of places to stay.
But there are about six inns on State Park. Spring Mill has one.
We're blowing it.
Falls down in Madison has one.
I was going to say, so this is when I was talking about what I refuse to talk about the Hoosier Gym, is because it's like the godsend of the county, at least in my parts. And I was like, there is so much more to do outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
And to exploit, to bring people in. Like, we have I don't want to say it's a huge river, but we have a big river, and we have
our trailhead system.
Our trailhead system is getting developed, and we need to get more people. We need to get more people to explore it, so that more money comes into it, and all that jazz. But that's why I said, I was like, I'm tired of just milking the Hoosier Gym. I want to we need it. Like, there's a clientele for that, right? And those clientels sometimes will overlap with the trail, like the people who are outdoorsy, but not all the time. And like the outdoorsy people. I said on the show previously, it's like a lot of them have money and they want to spend it. Well, let's take it.
You know,
let's build the infrastructures and things that we need to do it.
Potato Creek State Park has been Potato Creek up near South Bend has been in the works to get an inn since Mike Pence was governor. In 2015, he made a big announcement it was going to happen, and then the money went away. But the price tag for their inn is $55 million.
So where does that come from? DNR? Does that come from the state?
The governor was going to get $24 million for it from a cell phone leasing plan, a cell phone tower leasing plan. He sold off some rights, and then it went away. And now their big plan is maybe to borrow some COVID funds because, you know, it's flush money.
This inn, first off, why is it $55 million?
It does seem rather expensive.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what kind of a Cadillac plan it was, because I feel like that's a That's got to be fancy.
Yeah. I just like, can we just get some cabins that have some heating and air, or just air maybe?
There are some incredible cabins as well.
Like if you just started a cabin system or something, like it, there's, I think there is a cabin potentially for rent in Carthage area.
Paul Fabric says that at their last TAC meeting, the issue of cabins was brought up for Summit Lake. The cost was too great to build the infrastructure for cabins at this time, unfortunately.
That's too bad.
So yeah, there's, I mean, it's all a matter of what kind of investment's available. I will say that DNR properties across the state have been continuing to receive upgrades, but as somebody that spent about 40 nights this year in DNR properties and about 40 last year, the occupancy is incredibly high. And Summit Lake is one of the most popular campgrounds in the state of Indiana. Awesome.
And back to your overarching point, like I get that not everybody's into basketball and it's a way to brand us, but it's not the only attribute we have. We have two great wineries. Exactly. We have the trailhead. We have these parks. We have Westwood. We have a lot. We have a lot, great history. We have Wilbur Wright. We have Robert Indiana. Like we have really cool stuff to offer. So it's not just basketball. I mean, I think basketball is definitely worth mentioning and it's a draw, but we are also promoting the other things.
So right,
I think
you just need to diversify.
Absolutely. And I see that happening. Yeah. I see it happening with our branding. I think they're actually doing a really, really good job. So I saw a pamphlet tonight that was like restaurants in the county you should eat at. And it was an awesome list of like, you know, everything from Primo to Iron Kettle and Sulphur Springs, which is one of my favorite restaurants, like just Montgomery's, like you name it, like the local, you know, local owned, you know, community members who actually give back and participate. It was a great list. And so I'm excited to see our county branding continue because I think we're off to a really good start and it's not just basketball.
Yeah.
I can say that.
Yeah.
The amphitheater in Rush County is also a fantastic venue.
I've heard really good things about it.
I don't know if
you've
been down there yet for their summer concert series, but it is excellent.
Greenfield's building an amphitheater right now too.
Monorail, man. We need a monorail. That's all I'm saying.
I think there is a monorail in the Biden's plan for getting us further in debt.
There's an abandoned monorail in downtown Indianapolis now for the hospitals.
Did they not use it anymore?
No, they gave up. Yeah, they quit using that.
That's
like 3 years ago.
I was gonna say I was like when
the
I first started
for the
working,
hospital.
When I first started going to Indy, I was like, what the hell is this thing? And then I was like, what is that for? And then I forgot totally that it was a part of the hospital.
It was for the hospital.
But I guess I hadn't seen it the last couple times I've been in Indy. So
my dad was hospitalized at one point and I was like, okay, we're going to jump on this from Methodist. And cause we were really tired of eating the one half hospital cafe. Cause I didn't want to get the car to the garage, go drive somewhere. I'm like, we'll get on this and we'll take it down to like Riley or whatever is down there. There's gotta be a stop closer to downtown where we can walk.
Right.
Total disaster. I could never figure out how to get on it, how to leave. None of it worked right.
Is Indianapolis is set up perfectly to have a monorail. If you think about it, you could just loop downtown. And if it looped downtown, it could get you by Bankers Life, Lucas Oil Stadium, the zoo, White River State Park is all like on the peripheral of downtown. And that would be
even, it's not a reality.
Instead, they just ran it. I mean, there's a bunch of hospitals right there together, and that's where they put the monorail.
Well, so most people in Indy, and this is not true for the people who visit, but the cultural trail is massive. And it's not massive for the people who don't go there aloft because we're not going to walk from downtown to Broad Ripple, right? So you have to bring a bike, but many people bike from downtown to Broad Ripple, from downtown to Fountain Square, or, you know, just the cultural trail is massive. It's a huge system. And that's how people navigate on foot and probably is why you would almost argue like people probably wouldn't use the monorail because they would just go on foot. But for people out of town, you're right. Like there needs to be an in between. The scooters are trying to fix that problem to some degree, but it's not quite there.
So Jesse, when you dreamed up this episode,
I didn't dream this episode. When we dreamed up
this episode about 8 days ago, you went on some sort of a rant in a private Facebook group over service animals and being very upset over people using these emotional support animals. And you were mad that they weren't all fair. And I thought, you know what? This is your time to shine.
I don't think it's that it's not fair. I think that
they're annoying.
Not that they're annoying. It's more that I'm concerned and it's to the point that I'm annoyed. So Mark knows where this is going.
No, I'm just.
He has.
No, I'm concerned where it's going because, like, I've seen these show notes and I've seen. We're talking about service animals. I'm like, so I like, okay. Not to hijack your.
This is your guest, like, man. You take his long.
Like, I was like.
You should all be right, talking.
So service.
What's animals. A service animal?
So I typed in literally before I was about to leave, like service animals, like why they're not allowed on planes, and like, and it was like sitcom, like sitcom comedic level like parody with these animals. I don't know, something along those lines. I was just like, this is hysterical, and I'm not reading anymore. I'm just gonna wait till later. And I was like, because I knew you were gonna get to this point of like, you don't like animals.
It's not that I don't like animals.
And I don't disagree with
you. You're an anti-dogite.
I'm an anti-dogite.
You're about to shit on me too.
You don't like dogs?
See, here it comes.
What the hell is wrong with you, dude?
Boom. There comes the fire. Everybody's just like, what the
I knew
are you talking about? I'm surprised Bessie hasn't taken off her shawl to throw down. Look at the fire in her eyes.
I'm pissed.
Look at it.
How do you not like dogs?
Exactly. How...
You're so, such a contrarian.
He's got Loki and he loves Loki.
You probably choose Loki. It on purpose. You're like, I'm going to be a contrarian. I hate dogs. And everybody loves dogs. Loki.
No. So I was like, look, it's going to get to a point where people are going to want to bring their dead dogs with them. And I got ahead of the curve. I brought my dead cat with me tonight. This is all Loki right here. This is his ashes. Because I don't understand. I don't, but and people laugh now. This is going to be a reality.
That like doesn't bother years. Me. I mean, it's a little weird, but like, you're not disrupting.
It's not, it's, you know, it's kind of weird. No, it's kind of weird right now.
Does Loki ride shotgun with you everywhere, Jesse?
You buckle him in.
I'm going to start making him do it. I'm going to start bringing him everywhere I go.
Do it. This is America.
It is America. But, and that's why I have this opinion.
Do you have a permit to be transporting those ashes?
I don't know.
Sir.
I had to get okay from Jeremiah to make sure I could do this. I was like, this is very weird, and I'm going to do it. But I was like, I also, this is going to be a thing.
Oh, no, this is exactly why we bring you on the show, Jesse.
No, but so listen. No, you think it's weird, but people, like, right now when you get, like, someone's cremated, they try to sell you trinkets to wear them around all the place. I've yet to see anybody do it with their damn dog.
You need to hold.
No, they have dog jewelry. Oh, no, they have dogs. I research it. Yeah.
You need to hold the cat up for the camera.
Does she wear it?
The chat can't see the cat.
I don't know if she does or doesn't, but I know she has a charm.
I don't want to touch the bag.
I don't want to read. This is the company. This is the company's name.
Oh, that wasn't your pick?
Yeah, I didn't pick that.
You didn't choose your cat.
What's it called again? What's it say again?
My Pet Angel.
It's a company that... that burns animals a lot, like while they pass away.
I mean, Loki is pretty,
and
tight,
it's probably not all.
But it wasn't an angel.
Loki's in here. Fido's in here. There's a bunch of other animals that are probably part of this bag. But
it looks a lot like a Crown Royal bag.
I will say,
I know.
And this is, it does.
You should have asked if you could get it.
But it's like Loki
royal
bag.
You can transfer into your own container.
No, I left it. It just sits on my TV stand.
I thought maybe
never forget.
I thought you maybe hung him from your rearview mirror.
Do you have to dust Loki?
Well, he had dust on his bag earlier.
That just helps him maintain weight, Jeremiah.
So my problem isn't that I don't like dogs. So let's clarify this problem.
He hates them.
No, I have this. I don't hate dogs. I love my mom's dog. I like dogs and I hang out with dogs. I am not obsessed with dogs. I've never been obsessed with dogs. I've grew up with dogs. I had tons of dogs growing up. I probably had like 4 or 5 dogs growing up. My thing is that I don't enjoy, and I think it's a symptom of something, I don't know what, that people believe that they need to bring their dogs everywhere, and then they are amazingly disgusted when someone says no. And they're like, what do you mean no? Why can't Craig, my dog, come inside?
Craig.
And basically like white dudes, man.
It's Craig, we're almost there. Dog, they're going, I mean, Craig. Like everybody thinks they're part of the family. And I'm like, why do you think you should be able to bring your dog into a restaurant? We cook food here. We get grossed out that there's human hair, which probably gets washed, depending on the individual, at least once a week. The dog, meanwhile, grooms itself with its disgusting tongue, and then it's floating in the air depending on how bad they shed. I'm like, I don't want to be eating my curry and there also just be dog hair with it. That's not what I want.
How often does it happen, actually?
Nothing, because people can't bring their dogs. But the point is people try to bring their dogs and they get pissed pissed
that they can't
when they can't bring them inside. Now, I don't know how much time you spend in Fountain Square.
A bit, yeah. I have friends down there.
Yeah. Right. So, do they have dogs?
No. Yeah. No. But they do hang out, but they're in bags that they carry. Yeah, yeah. They're the non-living kind.
It's more prevalent there than it is here.
It's getting worse here.
I want to say Square's vibe.
But that vibe is propagating, especially the dog vibe. Because so it began with my older brother. And he used to bring his dog everywhere. I was like, why does this grown man need to bring his dog everywhere he goes? And he can't leave
it. Does the dog perform a service for him? Does he say why? Because I'll bring my dog to family events. If we're going camping, the dog spend the weekend everywhere. With us. Because I'm not leaving them at home if I'm leaving for 2 or 3 days unless I have a dog sitter.
Right. But, and that's fine. But like, it's the entitlement that drives me insane. Like, and being told no. And then they're like, well, do you not like dogs? You're like, no, we are a restaurant and we're indoors.
So
and people might actually be allergic to the damn thing.
Fido is not allowed.
I think that's okay. Generally. I mean,
it is okay. I don't have a problem. So I go to Fountain Square like at least once a week. And I sit outside. I hang out with dogs. You have terrible dog owners who think it's funny that their dog comes over and sniffs me. And then you have really dumb dog owners who are new to dog owning who think that their dumb dog should come up and talk to the other dog without asking permission. Like, people are trying to learn all these like dog protocols. And it's just a situation. And you're like, what is going on? Why are there dogs everywhere?
So you're saying hipsters are really bad at dog discipline.
Put a quarter in Jesse and just let him run.
Well,
hipsters are bad at dog discipline is what you're
like
saying.
He's very much more opinionated they than me are, on it, but like I don't disagree with him like to an extent. Like, don't get me wrong.
He likes dogs too.
I have dogs tattooed on my leg and they're like my dogs. They're dead and gone. I love them to death. But like,
you should carry them in a bag, bro.
My mom has them at home. It's fine. I can visit whenever I want. But the point is,
you should bring your dog and my cat will play together.
But we'll just play video games and the cats will sit on the table.
What I did is that my dog died last year, so I just got another one that looks exactly like him.
That's fine. What people do.
Yeah.
I think it's not the same.
There also is a separation because there's two different, to me, classes of animals that are used. There's an actual service animal.
Correct.
We're dancing on the line of service animal and just like.
Very expensive, and it serves a very important purpose for the owner, whether it be like seizure prediction or seeing eye dog. And then there's this thing.
Where blood glucose issues.
You could buy a vest online, and somebody also figured out that you can call it an emotional support animal, and that because of HIPAA, they can't question you.
So
right.
And so people start bringing – and I think what finally was the straw broke the camel's back, because I was looking it up earlier, is the strange things that people were taking on airplanes. And people took turkeys.
Yes.
People took pigs, which I actually don't have a problem with pigs. Pigs are smart. Pigs can probably do the job. Miniature horse. Somebody tried to take on a plane.
Because these people are trolling because I want to do this.
Dragon. just like people are just coming up with the craziest animals that they could. Snakes, which I have a problem with a snake in that.
Fuck that.
As much as emotional support.
Only if Samuel Jackson's on that freaking train.
For the one person it provides comfort to on the plane, there's probably a dozen people
who are terrified,
including my wife, who would lose their mind.
So then that's the other problem. There are people who are terrified of dogs. And we forget this because everybody, like I grew up with a kid who got it mauled by a chow, was terrified. Dude would break down. Like a 15-year-old kid would cry. And granted, he needs therapy, but I'm also suggesting these other people need some therapy. Like, you need to learn to be able to leave your house without your pet all the time.
An actual service animal, you barely notice that they're there.
The whole thing is they sit down to the
owner and they chill until it's time to leave, and then they're back on the clock. And so, yeah.
And that was my point is like, so I have a friend who happens to be blind, literally, and has a legitimate service dog, and his name is Griffy. Great dog. Wonderful dog. Love it. Doesn't bark, doesn't do it. Now, let's say he's a little rough right now because he's brand new to being a service dog. So he still wants to say hi to other dogs. And the owner has to be like, no, that's not what you're here for.
You work for me right
now.
You're
on the job, you know, and you don't pet it. You don't do these things. And I was like, perfect dog. Just sits here. Great. And it has a handle. And I think Christy had mentioned that, like, it's not a – like, she mentioned some comedian. And so it's not a service dog unless it has a handle. And I was like, that's pretty much how I look at it. It's like, if it doesn't have its vest and handle, it's not a service dog. This is something that you want because you can't leave the home.
Emotional support.
Yeah, it's so, emotional support. And so it's turned into, first off, the dogs were like dependent on the human. But now I think it's flipped. And I think there's like this like almost toxic dependency that's happening. And I think it's a symptom of something else larger in society, because we never were this way. You can look at like 2012 or 2013, the amount of money people started spending on their pets like skyrocketed. And now it's like gone off the rails.
There's
like
an industry insane around these. So I, in the show notes, I provided a link to one, I guess we'll call it one of the leading emotional support animal registration services. Cause I'm like, who's in charge? Who decides if it's a service dog versus an emotional support dog? How, is there any credentialing? Does the state decide? Does the county decide? How the hell do we work this out? So this website is basically, it's kind of like the way I became a pastor to marry Zach's brother last year. You pay a one-time fee of $69 to unitedsupportanimals.org, and they give you a letter. And they promise that with their letter that you can fly with your pet in the cabin of an airplane at no charge, keep your pet in housing even if there's no pet policy, say goodbye to pet security deposits forever. And they've got all these different price points. And for $100, you get, you know, something assigned by a therapist, and it has a travel letter involved and yada, yada, yada. If you go, you know, by the $169 package, it comes with the vest.
The whole thing's a sham.
They just add it up, make it up. There's no questions. There's none of that stuff. It's just, you know, whatever. they just play dress up with the animal. And I think you're exactly right, is that there's
something's going on in society. And this is my point. It's not even that I care as much as I'm just like, what the hell is going on with people? When did we become the species that relies on this other species so bad? Like, understanding that you have it for protection and all this, but now it's like, no, I need it to go to dinner. I need it to go out to the house. Every time I leave the house, it has to be with me.
Well, how That's many people crazy. Are actually in that mode? Like, I know you're pissed off at like what? 1% of the population, or like, I know it's increased, but this really a significant societal issue?
It is in Fountain Square.
I think the problem is that you're in Fountain Square.
No, I mean, like,
and I love Fountain Square, but you're in Fountain Square, dude.
No, I know, but you see it happening more and more. So like,
so Indiana changed the law in 2018. This is the last thing in the show notes. There was a Wish TV story. Our state senator, Jean Lysing, she was the author of a bill that was signed by Eric Holcomb in 2018. And the law says that if someone's disability isn't obvious, the potential landlord can ask them for written proof from a doctor or a licensed healthcare provider to prove that they need the animal. And Lysing said that in the Lafayette area, there was an apartment owner who said someone came in and they had 2 cats and 10 rats and said they were their emotional support animals. And they didn't have anything to turn them away.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to find these like fringe cases, right? Like, I'm just saying, like, I'm more concerned about people's well-being, because it just seems like there's something else going on, and that I'm trying to be more observant of pointing it out. And it may not even trickle into other people. I'm a very observant person. And when I say stuff, people are like, you're fucking crazy. And I'm like,
well, that's why we have you on the show.
I know. But then like 5 years from now, you're going to be like, there's going to be a thing. Like, the CDC has said that there is now a problem with all these. I'm like, I told you. Like,
we're Jesse, all this be is what you're getting at. We are mental health wise. Like, we as a culture, correct, and society, exactly, we're in a bad way. So we're leaning on the dogs too much.
Wait, exactly.
For companionship and love, because and we're not getting in other places. We're isolated, all of it. So you're just speaking about an ongoing public health crisis.
Yes,
and the pandemic's not helping. Yeah, and we all need a lot of help.
Because you know what?
The dogs only, are fine, but the emotional support turkey is too much.
No, but
it's a bridge so what, too far.
No, so here's the best in public health.
But the only turkey just we that. Loved has been dead for 3 years.
It's not just that.
Rest
it's
in
not,
peace, my friend.
It's not just that, though. Had the dogs. Now they have dogs and houseplants. Like, and now it's because they're constantly having to take care of things. I'm like, take care of yourself. Quit trying to push
off. Would help?
It seems like you're deferring your own self-care.
You know what would help?
Not you. I'm looking at you. Talking in general.
Telling fast you. Time all the time, so it wasn't dark and depressing at 5:15 when you get home from work.
Exactly. Yeah. Jesse Riddle advocates for investment in mental health in Indiana.
I do. So here's the thing. Is like, if
Jesse's
I ever
like, close the jails. Let's do full mental health.
No, if I was to ever go to college, I would go for psychology. And it's because I find this stuff interesting. It's not, and that's what I say. Like,
well, you'd be a real good psychologist. I find that interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Go on.
I would be, the psychologist is fine. A psychiatrist would be terrible because I can't sit and just talk to people. But I can make these hypotheticals.
You do. It's called a podcast.
Studies. No, I can do studies. But anyway, my whole point was is that
East Indiana.
Yeah. Whatever. But my whole point is like I jokingly say, and it's obviously not a funny joke, but I'm like, you need to see a therapist. Like, and I actually mean it. Like, I'm being hyperbolic but sincere at the same time. Like, I want you to see a therapist to talk through this. And the problem is that you have therapists who are like signing off, like, yeah, the pet's solving the problem. I'm like, is it though? Because it's just creating a dependency. And when that thing dies, because they have very short lifetimes, they're going to be in a heap of shit. And then they're going to have to go figure that out and then go through the whole process again. Versus like,
you know, here's the problem.
What is really the problem?
It's a deeper dive than I expected, honestly.
We're all different, Jesse. Welcome. We're all different. I have almost no emotion when it comes to pets.
I know. You hired a hitman on the dark market to kill your cat. I know.
So when my dog died, it was like, yeah, that was sad for a day.
Are you kidding?
It took a year and a half for Sarah to be as ready as I was to be like, okay, we're going to replace the dog. And it's very transactional. I love them while I have them, but I know that they have a very short life. And we, you know, growing up on the farm, things happened. Right. A lot of animals were
same life for me, but like Team Sarah, like we lost our dog, our beloved dog, in May, and it broke my soul. Like, my reaction was, I'm so, so sad about this. And so like, he was the best dog. You would have liked my dog.
I was going to say, I
Tucker
like dogs.
Was the best of the best. And he was a little rescue. He was the best. Anyway, I was like, I am so lost without a dog. And I don't think I'm a weak person. I don't take my dog everywhere.
I'm not saying
I know the type of person you're talking about.
Hyperbolically call people weak. I don't really mean it.
My puppy didn't come to council with me tonight, right? You're like, right. I get it. Like, he's home with
grandma. Oh my God. Would that be great though if you get elected to state rep? And then you're the lady that walks in with
her. I'll tell you how you get a bunch of damn dog
every time.
But
put a damn dog in your photo, you're going to win the damn race.
I have a lot of pictures with puppies, but
they'd be like, oh my God.
The flip of Sarah, like I was so broken without my dog. I was like, I need something. And so I spent way too much time this summer looking, and within a month we had a puppy who is growing up slowly, but he's kind of a disaster.
Oh,
we call him Tiny Terrorist.
We are in
that's what I call children.
His name's
training
Benny.
Mode.
That's what I call my son.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
My mom loves
him
though.
It's okay to have a kid, Mark.
No,
you can still
that.
Call them Tiny Terrorist.
Those are the same things. Like people that like bring their dogs and their kids to restaurants are the same people to me.
The dogs have a choice. The kids,
it's
usually well behaved. And the kid isn't going to be licking his butthole
like
while it's
stuff
also while you're eating curry. Yeah, I don't know why I keep saying curry.
I know. Where really are you eating curry?
You're a curry fan. It's fine.
I love curry.
I'm interested.
Do they let dogs into the Indian restaurant here in Spiceland?
No, I don't have no idea.
Just do the kitchen.
Oh, that's a good restaurant.
But I was going to say,
oh my God.
It should have been on the list. It doesn't do well with the health reports. It doesn't do great with the health reports, but it is a great restaurant.
It's good.
I will say, when I had to put Loki down because he was sick as shit, I cried a lot. I was like, oh my God, this sucks.
Obviously, you got duped into buying the thing.
I know. I know this.
So Jesse Riddle does have a heart. It's in there somewhere.
I do have a heart.
It's
you heard it first. Here, a Song of Liberty.
Here's how much of a heart I have. I had another cat die.
Will Loki be in the picture tonight?
Yeah, maybe.
In memory.
He'll just be in my pocket. But
If you don't hold it up, why do you even bring it?
Yeah, hold him up.
So, no, because that's just a little off-tasting, I think.
Loki would love it.
You guys, that would have been my idea, and everybody would be like, that's not a good idea. But anyways, so the whole point here, don't put the company's title in it. Be gentle with him, okay?
Oh my God, yeah, I just realized I dropped him from 30.
So anyway, my whole point is, I'm an animal person, and I believe they're due respect. What I don't think is that we need a bunch of people owning, because a lot of people can't take care of themselves. They don't need to take care of any other animals. They need to take care of themselves. But when my cat Shagrath died, it was like January. And he's like, I forget what he did with him. He put him in a trash can or something, whatever. My dad's, you know, from the old world. And I'm like,
dude, I can't tell you how many dead baby goats we put in feed sacks and just
Yeah. So I was like, we're not going to give my cat a disrespectful death funeral. I was like, we're going to go outside and dig up a damn hole and put him in it. And he's like, it's January. I don't give a fuck, Dad. We're doing it. And I made him come out there with me because I was like, you put him in a trash can. I was like, we are putting him. And so we're digging in like frost. And my dad's like, this is bullshit. I was like, but I was like, he doesn't deserve to go away in a trash can. Like, I'm very respectful of animals. I'm so respectful of animals that like
if Jesse has been moved
that he digs a hole in January.
I don't know if they're tears of laughter. They're not really tears of crying. But
don't be ashamed.
No, I'm not.
This is real. What a roller coaster
we honor night this has been.
We honor you.
I love you guys.
This is everything Jeremiah hoped for last week.
So anyway, so the thing was is that where was it going with this?
Your dead cat January.
Dead cat January.
Frosted ground.
Yeah, but there was
shit,
by the way, Jesse, if my brother was here, he'd tell you, sorry, your dad
died. He's like, wait, your dad died?
But, a proper burial.
Nah, but there was something.
We have the worst running jokes, Betsy, with Jesse on this show. Yeah, I accidentally bring up his dead cat, and then he brings the damn thing, and my brother keeps telling Jesse how sorry he is his father passed away 2 years ago.
I would agree with the metal statement.
It's very metal.
Oh, it's horrific.
I wish I could remember what I was going to say, though.
So Jesse, tell me if I'm wrong. I think if I understand your stance,
please do, because most people can.
I feel like I'm better understanding and conceptualizing your stance. You're saying you also don't want animals in public to be disruptive. Like chill animals, quiet animals are much better than like dogs that are just out of control. And also maybe not support turkeys.
Well, so at Blackacre where I go, sometimes people bring a rabbit.
Sometimes he goes to Irvington. He doesn't go to Fountain Square.
Yeah, so people bring a rabbit, and I think it's hilarious because I want the dogs to go ape shit.
What you need is the rabbit to be on the menu. You need Blackacre needs to start selling rabbits.
They're going to have a rotisserie chicken potentially.
I wonder if anybody's ever taken their emotional support turkey to Thanksgiving dinner.
Did you see that? Indiana,
that's what I was going to go.
Indiana Braun, Senator Braun made a post today that the two turkeys that Biden is pardoning are from Indiana. They're from Jasper.
That's awesome.
Indiana pride.
Are they Amish turkeys?
I can't believe that Senator Braun acknowledged that Biden's president.
I was going to say, I got my train of thought real quick and I want to finish it. I was like, I respect animals enough that like, if I'm getting full on my plate, I will eat my animals. I will leave everything else and I eat the thing that died for the plate. Jeremiah threw his chicken away tonight. And I will never do that. I will never do that. Like I'll be like, no, I'm eating it or I'll take it home and I'll eat it. I will never.
Because you want to honor the sacrifice.
Exactly.
Respect. And Cody would agree on the protein level, I'm sure.
I was going to say, I respect the lot. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I left behind half of a beer and three chicken nuggets. Yeah,
no one died for your beer, Jeremiah.
Two chicken's titties were left on his plate and a beer. It was a disgusting display of
waste.
Whatever money you have, I don't know.
Of whatever money you have,
flaunting your Henry.
I know you guys both left. When they say eat the rich, I'm just beer, gonna go. Like,
this
right.
guy left three chicken nuggets on his plate and a beer. I'm out.
And half of a $3 beer because I didn't want to overserve myself before I came here and had more on the show.
But yeah. So, anyways, I think you. I was going to say though, I think there's a sensible amount of you can have animals out in public. That is not my problem. I think expecting them everywhere you go that. Momentum much. Needs to stop, and you should definitely never, ever, ever, ever have animals in the kitchen, like near a kitchen. Like that's just like if you're for preparing food for the public.
Yeah.
Like don't do
our
that.
Dogs I know to stay the hell out of the kitchen.
Yeah. I think you're not wrong. I wish that
was the consensus I get.
I just think you're hanging out in weird places, man. Well, like you need to get out of Fountain Square.
It's going to migrate.
To me, it's like a bubbling up of culture. And cause I see
Fountain Square is the tip of the spear. Next thing you know, it's going to be Middletown.
Like Tappers in downtown Newcastle.
That would be dope.
Oh yeah. I love
I was just at Tappers the other day, like three nights, 4 nights ago. But anyway, but I was going to say, like used to, you would hardly see people walking their dogs in nights or Newcastle. Now you see it a lot.
Zach, I'm going to bring Garth into the dog's club. Is that healthy behavior, though?
I think walking a dog, getting them out of the house, it is fair. But the problem,
but bringing them into it's like B-dubs, you know.
But I'm saying, like, it's just a symptom of like the progression of what society's doing.
You. I mean,
not everyone that's going to walk their dogs and be like, I need to bring my dog into B-dubs. I'm just saying that there's going to be.
It's something that goes even beyond pets. there's just a permeates. This is like, it's pops up in camping and it popped up locally where people just think that they should be able to do whatever they want to do and that the world should have to bend to them.
Mm-hmm.
And in, to the point that they're just rude and like awful to other people. Like there was, and the city council jumped on it real quick. There was a woman that came into the city council meeting a couple weeks ago because her neighbor, her mother's neighbor, elderly mother's neighbor, was using his backyard, which is the middle of a residential area, for practicing with his bow, with his hunting bow, and was using this woman's driveway and her property as like the backstop. So he could overshoot and it would end up on her property. And when they approached him and said, hey, could you like, not turn this around that. And like use his own house as the backstop.
He failed to use the golden rule.
He said, call the cops.
Yeah.
And so she came to the city council meeting and said, you know, my mom's nearly blind. There's arrows in the yard at times. And they changed it. So now the guy, nobody gets to do it. I know a big thing in camping is people leave lights on and they're like, I should be able to leave all my lights on.
What, hey man, if they didn't want lights on, they should.
They should go camp somewhere else. Or they say, well,
bring your own candle.
Everybody should, else, you know, should get blackout curtains. And they're like, well, maybe they're afraid of the dark. I'm like, they're in their trailer, though.
Right.
And it's just like a little thing of just like I was camping. I had my lights on. I turn my lights off when I go to bed. But like I had neighbors that had tents. So I dropped my awning. And I watched it to the point where my lights would not shine in the neighbor's tent. Because I'm like, I wouldn't want to do that to them. And it's just that mentality with everything where people just want to do what they want to do. And the minute you say, that's kind of affecting my life a little bit, and they say even nicely, the people just lose their mind.
I know.
So the person wants to have their dog.
Entitled. There's people no like two-way
street. Whatever they want to do, however they want to do it. And the minute somebody says anything, then they just scream that they're being discriminated against or abused or something. It's just people, just nice neighbors, just be conscientious people of others' lives, and people don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I say I want to bring, I would like, I've thought about like, it would be fun to just, if I could get a cat that I could just carry everywhere. To be like,
would
just,
you though?
Would
you?
Yes, because I would do it in spite.
Is Jesse,
just to like watch the dogs go ape shit and is, just be like,
what is and then the cats would claw your arm off. Like.
Yeah. That would be a great time. I would wear like a hawk leather glove type thing. And they're like, why is this guy? I'm like,
you think you're going to hold on to that cat?
Yeah. No,
yeah, good luck. God bless, dude.
It's not going to work.
And then you got a lawsuit.
Potentially a raccoon.
Oh my God. Oh,
I would a trash panda.
Yeah, I'd just be like, I've got my own trash panda on a leash. And the dogs are just going, I'm like,
losing their shit.
Why is
so
your
the dog owners are not allowed to like come to?
No, the point is, I at this point, we need to let every. I'm saying, if dogs are okay,
you want them all,
other animals okay.
Open the floodgates. Jesse wants his pet raccoon.
I want to go to a zoo when I go to a brewery.
Oh, you know what you need?
Go to Minnesota.
I know.
I said it, sorry.
Jesse. You need a parrot. You need a parrot on your shoulder.
Oh, man. For the next
7 years. You never heard the story about me and Mark? And I was telling Mark, I was like, it was a nicer, cool day. We could have the windows open. And I was like, I was like, here's what's funny, dude. I was like, we could make parrot sounds really loud and convince the neighbors that we have parrots, but we don't have parrots. And if they ever came into your house, they would be like, where's the parrot?
Have you ever been around parrots?
No.
They're going to mimic the worst noises in your life. Oh, and
we were doing obnoxious noises.
No. Let me give you a preview. I've lived around an African gray since I was since 2001.
Why is it have to be African?
Why is that? That is gray? How he identifies. Anyway. and also his species, but fine.
I bought him at Walmart.
Arkansas.
So my mom's parrot, his favorite noise is our fire alarm. And when I call my mom, she's on speaker and I'm on speaker in my car. Sally's listening and she's going to, burp. It's the worst noise. It taps into, I'm very sound sensitive since I had a concussion a few years ago and it literally causes brain pain. So they've picked the worst, they can be charming.
Right. But
they could also pick the worst noises in your life and then mimic them at the worst times and torture you.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say,
and they're the smartest animal in the world. African grays are the smartest animal in the world. They have the intelligence of a 5-year-old and they can be emotional terrorists, but they're also charming. It's both.
When we were making the noises, I was like, Mark, give us one of your. Yeah. We were like doing like, I was like, well, you could just make them. Cause if you've ever been on Mass Ave, by the shoe store. I forget the name of the shoe store. But there's a shoe store on Mass Ave.
There's a cobbler on the south end of Mass Ave.
And they have a parrot that the guy will wheel out and it just sits there. And so you could be at your restaurant and it's almost as annoying as if a yappy dog or something else is out there or just public. and it's just going ape shit. Like, ah! Ah! You're like, dude, take your bird inside. That thing is annoying as hell. Why do you have it outside? And you're like, but it just sits there and just makes the obnoxious noise. And people are like, oh my God, walking
but
by.
But it's on their property.
Mark,
they don't
Mark,
care.
I need
it's
you not, to it's unplug. I need you to unplug the Jesse vending machine so we can talk about it.
I don't know. We need to leave
until I get my quarterback. Sorry.
Sorry. We're done with the pet talk. Mark, I love animals.
I am not going to follow anything that was just talked about with artwork. I'm just saying.
You've got an Etsy page. Yes. People are Christmas shopping. You're our art expert. You can. There are commissioned Mark Fultz paintings out there now.
They are.
Mark or Mark. I don't think you're using the right term.
It's Mark or Mark or Mark Fultz. Whatever.
It's Mark or Mark or Mark Fultz.
In the show notes, there's a link to your Etsy page, to the Mark or Mark Etsy page. I'm sporting the Mark or Mark logo on the laptop. It has been on there since your last appearance on the show.
I see
you. We show you off. We're very proud.
I appreciate you.
I will say it's not all art pieces are not for everybody.
No. I've toned down lately.
There's some a little bit more edgy.
You literally drew a naked woman like 3 days ago.
Yeah. A big ass naked chick.
I don't know about flames. Down.
I sent it to Zach and I said, if you're not done with your Christmas shopping yet, Zach, this is what Mark has to offer. But you do have I'm sure you'll do some custom stuff if people ask for it.
I can do some more tasteful things for sure.
But if somebody wants their dead cat painted.
I thought about doing Loki, but Riddle has not hit me up yet on the Loki.
A good friend would have just done it.
I just pulled up your Etsy and I'm a little weirded out.
Sorry about you.
There's a lot of stuff out there, but you do have a Grinch one that I thought would be great to highlight for Christmas.
Great. Thank you. I've got a ton. I've got like, wow.
Which one is making you do these effects?
I will not describe it to you.
Can you show us?
I'll just tell you, the Rim Reaper.
No comment.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the Rim Reaper? That's probably the one.
This is probably cutesy Christmas artwork. Oh, Lord.
But it is.
Some of it is.
You just got to go further. And then
it's very troubling. Right.
You have to go through like the adult neighborhood.
Oh, Tiger King. Okay.
Okay.
I will say Rim Reaper is the hot seller. So if you're interested. They've been selling.
But you know what we're talking about.
I do.
Okay. Because that is selling like hotcakes.
It is not.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, I swear.
How many did you sell like last weekend?
Dude, seriously, all right, like two, maybe 3 weeks ago, I sold probably $300 worth of stickers of Rim Reaper alone. Yeah. And I'm not exaggerating.
These are like, the people that are telling Zach to fuck off their lights.
I had a couple like loose like stickers in between there, but seriously, like it was nonstop. And like to make the joke,
how did these people find it?
Like I know
you
like
put on you put on like, marketplace.
Like your listeners Halloween. Like the description is called Rim Reaper. Like you can use your imagination of
Rim
what it is.
And a Reaper and a tongue.
You can see it at Merc & Mark. At my Merker, at Etsy, at Merker Mark. But whatever. It's absurd. It is ridiculous, but seriously, like, I don't know what, like,
the hot girl shit one is the one that I sent to Zach.
Yeah, the hot girl shit was pretty fun, too. I think, like, what was exciting about that is, like, the stupid photo I took to post to social media with the hot girl shit because, like, it is a large painting. It's like 5x3, maybe. I don't know.
5 foot by 3 foot?
Yeah, 5 foot by 3 foot.
That's a huge fight.
It's a big piece, but it's like a small, like, tiny, like, flash drawing piece. And, like, I did it pretty quickly, but it's, I don't know.
You have one that's a chainsaw that just says anxious. Is that just, that's the Jesse Riddle collection?
No, that's like, so there's actually meaning behind
Mark
that.
Mark is
like,
very anxious.
I'm very anxious. So that's why I made that. I was like, so what's like very, like, I was thinking like when I made that at the time, like 2 years ago, I was like,
feel like,
what's something
anxious?
That made, like, I was thinking like Limp Bizkit at the time, like the chainsaw, whatever. If anybody
break
even
stuff.
Remembers that
break
stuff.
Off
yes.
Of,
and I was like a motherfucking chainsaw. What? I was like, all right, I'm going to like, that makes sense to me. So I'm going to throw like anxious, like as a silhouette in a chainsaw vector. It just made sense. I don't know.
I have no idea how your brain works, man. I love it. It's out there.
So the point of the matter is like, yeah, there's like, there's some like pretty distasteful art, but there's also like some tasteful art too. Like what I've been working on
see
and,
the,
and been putting out.
Have you seen the Rim Reaper? Have you sold out, Mark? And you haven't read up on the, you probably need to.
Dude, I know. It's the like first, it's the back to what I, in the store when, I said I made like a few hundred dollars a couple weeks ago, I literally had to re up on the supply I had and I'm almost down and out.
I don't see the Christmas stuff coming up. That's my problem.
Is this, is this your B. Arthur shirt or is that just showing me something else?
B. Arthur.
Golden you, Girls. Look, show, look yeah. here, I'm on his page, and there's a BR.
Well, it's. Yeah. I think the search was for that. That's so, from David like, Trending Gifts.
So the
but
the
there, there's somebody that has one that's a B. Arthur.
that appeals to me maybe more
what
than some
that?
Of your other
I don't
art.
Know what you're talking about still, like the Christmas stuff is like it's been recent. Like there's like probably four or five. It's under the Originals tab. It's there's a handful. I probably done like three or four Grinches. I just. It's not even up yet, but it will be like probably tomorrow. A Charlie Brown one. Jack Skellington as Santa Claus from Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, I don't know. I really got into a habit of making Halloween stuff because it was like in my wheelhouse of making like horror and dark and just obscure art. So I was like, all right, that's came and went. The hype is done. So now I need to like get in on the.
We're
Christmas
on to the next
train.
Holiday.
Yeah.
No Thanksgiving pieces for some reason.
Well, no, like.
No, I feel a, like you could no, have a lot of fun with because dark dead turkeys.
It sounds like but you just went with. It. Sounds like you went with corporate America on this one.
I did.
Sold out.
No, I did. You know why? Because like.
You heard it here
like,
first. Mark
like,
Mark
you
sold out.
You don't decorate like for Thanksgiving. If you do, then
because
it's.
Because
like,
nobody's making Thanksgiving.
Because it's Halloween and then like,
I wanted
it, like,
you to do the hand
Thanksgiving.
You should have done a hand turkey, but you should have made it like.
I'm not
metal. Make it metal.
You should have made like a limb cut off and it was like people shove like turkey feathers and shit in it.
Hey, you know what? You can do a custom commission piece right here.
I'm not.
But you won't do it.
Not doing it.
Because people don't buy custom Thanksgiving art pieces. But you. You might.
I'm going to raise my hand and let you answer a stupid question because I'm getting ready to ask it.
There's no stupid questions on
what is a stupid what people. Is a Krampus?
You don't really know
Krampus?
What a
Krampus
is?
Krampus?
Yeah.
Krampus? Krampus is the like alter... ego of
Santa Claus.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't it like a German like version of yes. like your bad kid like and Krampus comes to get you kind
like,
of thing?
It dates back like pretty much
what
like
a Dwight thing on The Office.
Yes.
There's like, a very dark
like pre-Christian like folklore, I would say, maybe. Yeah. So essentially it's picture like a demon or the devil with a knapsack and chains and a whip. Depending on what area of history you dabble in, that comes and punishes bad children around Christmas time. Instead of giving them presents, he pretty much terrorizes children, which I love that because I don't like kids, and that's hilarious to me.
It's sounds like a metaphor for the government at this point, but
so
hey, use your imagination.
You're putting new art all the time.
All the time.
And you're available for custom stuff. So if you want something that's toned down and, you know, has the family dog
so yeah, I know
and
we're
Krampus
talking about
in it together.
Rim Reaper.
He does portraits,
Krampus.
Dogs.
I seriously do pet portraits, dog portraits, animal portraits.
Can you draw my dead
and
cat?
There, yes, I could. If you give me a decent photo of
just
your
this,
dead
just
cat.
Take a picture of it right there.
Let me just draw the Crown Royal bag real quick. But nah, I can do more tasteful stuff instead of demonic children tormenting demons. That's I can tone it down.
You've got range.
I've got range. Like I, that's just what I'm into. So I'm gonna play into what I'm into. But I can tone it back.
Are you still doing black market tattoos?
Do you wanna know?
No.
All right. Could you tattoo Jesse using the ashes of his dead cat?
I no, but I know that's a thing too.
That's
back to not, like that.
See, that's an actual thing.
Like that is
that's
a thing. And that is yes. weird.
Dude, people are crazy.
I just
they
don't know how
crazy.
That would react. I don't.
You know what? The first time I heard about people doing anything with the ashes was How High. They were like trying to study for something, and they put like the founding fathers' ashes in a weed plant, and they were smoking and like talked to Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, I remember this. Loosely.
That was pretty crazy.
There's right. always the guy who's the guy they think that Jack Sparrow's the character Jack Sparrow is based off of for the movie. The rock and roll guy.
Keith Richards.
Yeah, who's rumored to have snorted his dead father's ashes, I believe. He says he didn't, but
Well, that's what they end up doing in How High. He puts his dead friend in there and they smoke him so he can talk to him. It was a very terrible movie.
So Thanksgiving is coming up. This is our last episode before Thanksgiving, before we gather with the families. I wanted to talk about the holiday because this is secretly, I think, or the down low favorite holiday for me.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to
down low for you or everyone.
For me, it's sneaky as the best holiday on the calendar.
It's far superior. I would argue it is.
Yeah. Because it's less commitment. You don't have all the gifts to get. It's on a Thursday. So if you have a normal 9-to-5 job, you've got a 4-day weekend built in. You got football all day on Thursday. Unless if you're into retail. That sort of a thing, like Betsy and I are. That's what I said. If you have a normal 9-to-5, if you retail, then yeah, it's not nearly as
posh. It's a terrible holiday.
Right.
I've been there. It sucks really bad.
It's actually like 10 years, at least the retail years. Side's getting better.
There's no inventory now. Well, so what the hell's the point of being open?
Say, the business has finally started to like
push back a little
back
bit.
Off from like the, from well, Black Friday rolling like into dinner time for Thanksgiving, which was insane. That was people being inconsiderate again.
I'm a big fan of like Leif Erikson Day, you know?
He's just a born kind of
contrarian.
Born contrarian.
I really like Thanksgiving, and I would say 4th of July is number one, not just for patriotism, but it's summer, fireworks, everybody's involved. It's just a good time, but like I like Thanksgiving because it includes everybody. And like
it's not a religious holiday.
I love Christmas too. Right. Like Christmas is very important to my family and in my faith and all of it. But like Thanksgiving is everybody. It's great food. It's usually crappy football. Let's be real, Lions. But like,
no, they're gonna win this week.
You know, but
is it always the Lions?
The Lions and Cowboys always play, and then there's a third game where somebody else plays.
Why is it always them?
Because tradition. Yeah,
they've been around forever, and they've had the Thanksgiving.
It's like taking your hat off in a building. It's the same thing.
It's just always the honestly, Lions. And the Lions are always shitty.
Just doesn't make any sense. People just do it.
Cowboys are decent this year. Mm-hmm. And then there's usually a third game.
And the food is bomb. Like it's just a nice, you're right. There's no pressure for gifts. It's just hanging out with people you care about and eating a lot of food and betting on football. I guess.
I was going to say, I definitely see more of my family on Thanksgiving than I do on Christmas.
Yes.
Christmas is far more intimate as far as like, as family is concerned. Like it's like the most closest of the family versus like cousins and stuff. I see way my cousins and everything on during Thanksgiving, not necessarily on Christmas Day.
At this season of my life, it's become a travel. This will be the second or third year we've done it in Atlanta. So we have to travel down on the Wednesday for Thanksgiving. And that's nice for the 4-day deal.
Key holiday.
Well, but it's a,
he's like, there's no commitment. We just have to go to Atlanta.
I just have to drive
Atlanta, Indiana.
Georgia.
Okay. Yeah. Georgia. Dumb question.
And the day before Thanksgiving is the busiest travel day of the year. Historically. Right. That's the day, you know, the airports are busiest, that their interstates are the most full, where people are on the road.
Biggest night in the bars too.
Yeah. And that's the other big thing is that everybody's come back to their hometown, and it's when you find out, you know, the people everybody you haven't seen in 15 to 20 years, they're in
Craig and Ashley are no longer together.
They're down to on the market. They're down to the town tavern and you see how they all worked out.
Craig the dog.
Ashley the cat, they're available.
Zach, I know your favorite holiday is, you know, Memorial Day, obviously. Oh. But
actually, we're not recovering on Memorial Day.
But leading up to it.
That's a big because of where it is on the calendar, right? For the tradition of the 8500.
I'm bummed that it's being overrun by, like,
by Christmas. It's being pushed out.
I'm a Halloween baby. That's my birthday. And it is kicking off the holidays now, which is disturbing. I find it ironic in a very American way that we're going to skip right past the holiday that we're thankful for anything and skipping right to the one that's the most commercialized. Just go out and spend as much money as possible. Like I see how
especially
much,
especially with Christianity, Black Friday,
every year I see like they release the average family spends this much money on Christmas. And I am like, who are these people? Because it's like thousands of dollars.
They're my neighbors who shot fireworks off for 30 days.
Just
for Christmas
in 2020. No, well, I mean 30 days. I meant to say 30 months.
For July 4th, starting in
March. Zach, to your point, I'm kind of hoping that, and the supply chain crisis is real. And I was at Kroger today, and I was looking, I was in the pop aisle, soda aisle, whatever, pop. We're in Indiana, it's pop. And like, there was like no Coke, there's no Pepsi, like, there's nothing diet. Like, all over Kroger, there were like gaps in the store. It's scary. And that's just a grocery. Like it's all over. I guess I'm thinking like people are not going to have so many gifts to purchase for Christmas. So I'm kind of hoping it makes us reexamine our values and say, okay, what is Christmas actually about? Is it about like freaking gifts?
Well, if you go back to Patreon, there is
sounds like a good 2020
adult workbench like, we discussed.
I just think maybe we need to reexamine like the commercialism of it and say, no, this is the holiday is supposed to be this. So maybe we should reexamine our values there. Yeah.
I think of this what this smells like is a good opportunity for arbitrage. And I'm going to be buying this Pepsi so I can flip it on that black market for $5. Yeah, I'm like, I'm got looking. A 2 liter. I know it's a dollar, but I'm asking for
I was
10.
Just at Walmart before we met up for dinner, and there's apparently a shortage of ice trays, too, because I couldn't find them in the dollar store yesterday.
Ice trays?
Yeah, I couldn't find them in Walmart today either. Not kidding.
Also,
there was
shortage.
Four. I bought two.
That's
there
the most 1995 shortage I've ever heard of.
I swear.
Guys, we can't make ice.
I was in Walmart looking for lights and ice trays today. I'm like, this is 30. This sucks.
It was hard the last couple weeks camping to find bagged ice at times.
Yeah, I remember bagged ice.
We'd have to go like three or four.
Just got outside. It's cold.
To get, no, but this was like
July.
This was like mid-October.
Last week.
And we'd have to go like three or four gas stations to find one that had ice.
Yeah, I remember the ice shortage has been real for like months.
I was talking about the Panama Canal being clogged up last week and everybody made fun of me, but here we are talking about shortages this week.
I
feel vindicated.
I haven't felt a single shortage, so I drink local beer. I try to eat local. It's fun.
Still a shortage of PS5s. I'm pretty disappointed.
This is
about
from
it.
Beckenridge. This
is a Colorado beer.
This
is
come from China, bro. It comes across on a train.
All right. Anything else on Thanksgiving? We're gonna move on to final thoughts.
The football,
you got the big food. Well,
I have a question.
Yeah,
what is your favorite dish on Thanksgiving?
Ooh.
This is controversial.
Well, that's why I brought it up. I'm on the show. That's what I do.
It's a good question.
It's a great question. Yeah. It's also controversial.
This is controversial.
It's a great question.
The answer I'm getting ready to give
Facebook
is going to
be like, send this shit to the top.
It's going to tell people that I'm an idiot. I really like. And I have since I was a kid. I really like the canned cranberry jelly.
Okay, we are judging you.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Have no idea
you
what
were right.
This is.
I think
I have no idea what this is.
I've never eaten that.
My family doesn't do
I
weird
loved
shit,
it when I was seven. Like, and I would stuff. Still, even if it was sitting there now, I would probably get a little bit and have it. But it is not the stuff, not the, you know, the stuff your grandmother spent hours making. I don't want that labor of love. I want the crap that still has that is shaped like the can.
But you're supporting the American worker, and I appreciate that.
That's a great spin.
It's in a ball aluminum can. My God.
That was a lifeline.
Yeah. You know.
So I said it's embarrassing, but I also like a really good stuffing. But but my go to immediately would be
I've not had either one of these two things.
You've never had good stuffing?
Really
no,
good stuffing?
It looks atrocious, man. It looks like something that I didn't eat but may have got rid of at some time for myself. So I'm like, not eating that.
I literally can't even think of like
not the oyster really stuffing. That shit is disgusting. When they put the oyster juice in stuffing, that's nasty.
That's a thing foul somewhere. Seafood. I've learned about this somewhere.
Yeah, I had it that this maybe Thanksgiving that I'm going to go to
yeah,
next
you,
week.
You're the one who told me about this.
Disgusting. But the real and you can't tell the difference. You might accidentally get the oyster stuffing. You might get the good stuff.
You need to tell them put an oyster logo.
There
on
needs
this.
To be
a warning label.
Tell Mark and commission some oyster logos. And
oh
they can
no!
Put all this stuff.
I know where that's going.
Going through the lines, smelling
I could tone it down
and it smells
you.
Like fish.
Jesse, favorite.
So I don't enjoy turkey. Because most people overcook it, so
turkey is the very least important thing in the Thanksgiving.
I'm a big ham guy. I love ham. I love ham on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yep.
And my mom, if she's
because you hate pigs,
if she's in the mood,
service pigs,
she makes noodles from scratch. Wilbur. And so she'll make like homemade like noodle like I don't know what kind of noodles
white noodles
but those are pretty fire. And then you just need to mix that with some corn and stuff. It's pretty good. That's nostalgic. That's what it's always been for me. There's nothing. Like I said, we don't do cranberry fruitcakes or anything. We've never done anything weird. Just some ham and some noodles, mashed potatoes.
I think the cranberry thing's a Northeast deal. I think that's more of a Northeast than that is Midwestern. But like it's the memories you have when you were six or seven.
think people in Florida.
Well,
like,
I see it. I see it in like movies.
Everybody from New York, where my family's from originally, moves to Florida, so it carries down there.
So you're from New York and Atlanta, and
Sarah's family's from Atlanta. My mother is from Rapid City, South Dakota. My dad's from Messina, New York, and we're all in Central Indiana.
Doesn't make any sense.
It's a nightmare. My parents got married in Oklahoma. Welcome. We've got the country covered.
Oklahoma, do you know cabbage is illegal there?
Mark, we have a story to tell you.
I like how Bessie's taking charge of the podcast, by the way.
I didn't mean
Bessie's
to, but
Bessie's well seasoned. Yeah, she's
just like,
this is like my 76th or 7th time. Mark, favorite Thanksgiving dish, go.
Favorite?
I've thought about this. I really don't.
I know my mom's to try her hand.
You don't want to commit.
No, I really don't have like
his girlfriend Krenzy would say he doesn't like to commit either.
What do you get every time you like, go though? Like what?
It's always the same shit. It's like turkey, ham, you know, like mashed potatoes. But
do you like stuffing. One more than the others?
Mashed potatoes. Ham. Okay. But like again, back to what Jeremiah said. Like I don't really care for turkey. Like
if turkey sucks.
It does suck. It's always dry. I don't want to eat that.
Right.
No.
All right.
You got to douse it with like gravy, and I just don't want
to
eat that.
I've taken charge, and thank you for letting me do it. We're going to go to Zach. Zach, what's your favorite?
Two things. Childhood thing. With my grandmother used to make some like sweet yeast rolls that were amazing, but now somebody makes a sweet potato casserole that's got, I think it's got chopped up pecans in it and enough brown sugar that it should be considered a dessert.
That sounds great.
That's a fair answer.
All right. And my answer is mashed potatoes, and also my mom, and this is an old family recipe, makes homemade noodles that are to die for. And so I love those together, and I usually
have a noodle off.
Yes. Oh, well, my family's going to win.
Like a chicken and a noodle?
And peas. And my mom is, for the second year in a row, is not going to make a turkey. She's going to make a chicken. And there's not a lot of us, so way better. Like a roasted chicken versus a roasted turkey.
The chicken
is superior. Better, right.
You can do way more with it.
Yeah.
It's not as gamey. Like, turkey's kind of gamey.
Maybe people will not vote for me now because I said we're going to have chicken instead of turkey on Thanksgiving. But I'm going to go to like my partner's family. Like, they'll have ham and turkey, and I'll eat both, and that's fine. But at the Mills household, we're going to have a chicken, and I'm really amped.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right. I like that more people do noodles. So, wait, hold up. We got to
hold up.
I think as I'm thinking about this,
apparently we're on this podcast.
there are regional foods that you have. So the chicken and noodles thing, or the noodles,
so there's
is
no
very
chicken
much
in the noodles.
Yeah, that's why I asked. The noodles, like, you guys keep talking about noodles, and I'm kind of like,
really?
Atlanta, I've had collard greens.
He's from Indiana.
At Thanksgiving,
but you guys are from Ohio. Part of you.
Most of my family is from Ohio, and that's where I frequent.
Thanksgiving.
Honestly, that recipe comes from Ohio too, Northwest Ohio.
Finley. What, just noodles? Like,
my mom's family's from Findlay, Ohio.
So it's not just noodles. I do believe there's broth added, right? Like,
well, when you keep saying noodles, I'm thinking of like chicken and noodles, and I know that like
it's not
is
chicken
a
and noodles.
Dish
it's
that comes around on Thanksgiving. I'm like,
nope.
But that's like a whole.
There's no.
I feel
chicken.
Like that's like a main entree versus like the turkey and like the ham that gets brought. I'm like,
think
I'm
of it as like noodles in like a sauce, and you throw it on your mashed potatoes, and it's fly. It's so good.
Yeah, I put
noodles
it on,
and mashed potatoes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dude, you're coming to my house on Thanksgiving.
I'm on my way.
Fultz has never done fat kid shit, and I can see it.
I was going to say, all of a sudden, we know why he weighs 102 pounds.
Yeah, you've got some good sweet corn. Just the sweet corn in there, too.
Yes.
No, I like some sweet corn.
Real.
I know about some sour sweet corn.
All of this stuff goes together, and you just, I don't know why we don't all, everybody does it. I'm like, why don't we just all put it in a pot together, and then we don't have to mix it at a table?
Oh,
it would be gross.
Yeah, you mix all really that stuff.
Well, that's
together.
What Thanksgiving is. Like, everything touches everything. It just becomes one
Thanksgiving
day.
Is like
noodles.
10 different
I
sides.
Don't know. I want to know what you're doing if you don't have noodles. You're just eating dry ham and dry turkey. I don't really
I'm
like
not eating, I'm not eating the turkey.
There's gravy
said.
Over it, man.
Yeah.
Just what kind
I'm gonna
of gravy?
I'm going to eat the ham versus, like, if there's ham available versus turkey, I am going straight for the ham. And I'm going to, like, honestly, like, and if the ham sucks, I'm just going to play in the sides.
Have you ever
because
had
the
ham
sides
gravy?
Are always good.
Have what? You ever had ham gravy?
Ham and gravy?
Ham gravy, like
black.
I don't think so.
It's really good.
I really don't.
Red eye gravy.
No. I mean, like, literally gravy from the ham.
Okay.
Yeah. I've had it.
No.
It's good.
I don't know if I just got it from the thing that was made in.
I don't know. I just feel like Thanksgiving to me is like it's like, nothing but sides for me.
Right.
And it's like and like honestly, I'll get hungry and I'll want to go eat something else later, and not like everything I just ate.
The sleeper pick is the chocolate pecan pie.
I don't eat dessert,
I mean, there's that, too. Like, my uncle makes, like, a crazy, like, chocolate pie, but, like, I'm not crazy on sweets either.
I'm not a sweets fan. So, but I will say you're coming to my house on Thanksgiving and we are
great. Cause I'm a block and a half away.
I know. And, well, my mom's house and not my house.
just him and Loki.
No one's nowhere to sit. It's just going to be you and Loki hanging out. I might bring Loki for Thanksgiving. Who knows?
Oh my God.
But
service cat.
But anyways, the noodle thing, you need to experience the noodle. The noodle thing's dope. If they're made fresh, well, if they're made from scratch within like a couple days, they're pretty fire.
All right. We need to move into final thoughts.
We don't have to.
Dakota has been sleeping at home for 2 hours at this point.
And he would never put noodles in his body right now.
And he would just be stroking out that we're this far into the show.
He may have bought that table for Patreon for his anniversary.
Please subscribe to the Patreon to understand what the hell we're talking about. Zach Burcham, you got final thoughts for me? Anything we need to clean up? Anything we've forgotten?
Oh, I don't clean up. This is like the longest show since like Travis Wyke was here. So,
so it feels like it's been forever.
Do a little community plugs as well. If you're next week, Newcastle starts our Christmas festivities this weekend. So it's not even for next week. So the parade is on Saturday. And so to give all the hard work, I bet that Carrie Barrett and all the her people have been doing, their parade's going to be at 4 o'clock. There's a festival that's going to be going from like 11 to 4. And there's even going to be like a concert, 1 o'clock Island Breeze, which doesn't sound festive, but sounds like it could warm us up. But
Zach, why is that thing in front of your face again?
I don't know, because I'm unhooked. Because you're unhooked. Back there, in the other mic.
Listen, that's sexy.
That
dude.
Actually sounds better.
But the so yeah, the all the way to the final 4 o'clock and run through Baker Park to downtown, and check all the holiday festivities downtown. Will be it sounds like it'll be pretty busy on Saturday. So there that, and then if you need beef, go to L&K.
Betsy.
Wow. I'm really glad that council got out early. Sometimes we go for hours and hours. This was a short meeting. And I'm really glad that I texted you. I was driving by. I was like, oh, they're in the studio. I'll just see what's up. And I really thought I was going to crash out there and just watch because I haven't been in here in a while. But
no, we were wrapping up Patreon.
If you just
want to
crash and watch, I think you can not even ask. You just walk in.
I know. But
you have open door privileges. Thank just you. Like when you're in the state house. I'm just coming in.
That's right. No, it's been a lot of fun.
She's going to have my picture up. They won't let this guy through.
You guys are always a blast. And I'm really excited about my campaign. Facebook /Betsy for Indiana. Website up soon, betsyforindiana.com. We've been working really, really hard since maps dropped in September to lay groundwork. I didn't even know if I was going to have a spot to run for, you know, because you don't know where you're going to be districted. I thought, oh, they might put me in Muncie because I literally live on the county line. We are just really, really excited. And the support I've received so far from members of the community that we all know and respect, I'm just really, really honored by it. So if anybody wants any information, let me know. I'm excited. I'm motivated. I'm going to be hitting doors like crazy. I'm going to be making calls too. I'm going to earn it. So I'm going to wear out some shoes. I'm pumped.
We're glad you're in the race. It's going to be fun to follow from the beginning to the end of the process. And I got a feeling there's a good chance we're probably going to be going through November of next year to follow the whole story.
We'll see. Fingers crossed.
We're going to be Boss Hog's going to be like HBO with the Colts. We're just going to follow until the end.
Yeah,
we're going to be like Hard Knocks with the Colts. We're going to go until the season's over.
All right.
Following the Betsy trail.
You're always welcome.
Mark, what else do we need to know? Anything we've forgotten? Anything you want to plug?
No, other than I can tow down my arm for a specific request other than dead chicks and just macabre art. I can do your macabre. Pet. So yeah, that's all I got.
All right. It's check out Marker Mark on the Etsy. Jesse Riddle, my guy.
I don't have anything. We've had a deep episode.
I've been rewatching Seinfeld.
Good.
In honor of you.
I will probably.
It's on Netflix. Have you been?
I'm not going to watch the Netflix version.
You want the commercials?
No, it's cropped. it's cropped.
What?
It's cropped.
What's cropped?
So they took the 4:3 ratio and made it 16:9, and they've been cutting out. It's so like the pothole episode, you don't even see the pothole. Like it's where he like loses his like watch or whatever it is.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So they've stretched 4:3 into 16:9. And so now you're losing content.
How did you watch it all the first time?
Hulu.
Okay.
And Hulu didn't do that. So it's, Hannah has been getting on it and she finds it funny. It's a funny show. I need to get Mark Mark has Netflix. You should just,
it's timeless.
You can watch it without it. If you're a purist, you don't want to watch it with a cropped.
You're such a purist.
I went from a Seinfeld hater to I'm not going to watch it cropped. This is garbage.
You hated Seinfeld for our entire friendship. And then 2 years ago, you're like, damn, this thing's actually funny.
Yeah.
I think you finally got to the age they are in Seinfeld. They're all 35 to 45. And once you hit that age, you're like, oh, I get it now.
Well,
I still got a few years, so I'm going to hold out.
You held out. You hold out on everything I say is good. And then you watch it and you go, this is really fucking good. I go,
when the time's right.
I know. Like forever, like The Office. He's like, it looks boring. It looks boring.
You're like 8 years older than me, so it's fine.
This is true.
Well, anyways, did you graduate or drop out from high school, Mark?
Graduated.
Wow.
In 08 from Rushville.
I don't want to assume anything.
No.
2008?
2008.
So we're 7 years apart. Jesse's 06, yep. Right?
04.
04. Oh, damn. You are like halfway.
So he's an entire like high school generation.
Correct.
Which is hilarious to me.
But yeah, no final thoughts. Just, you know, if you're suffering with mental health, you should probably, if you don't see a therapist, consider getting one.
With that, we'll leave it there.
That's a good thing. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. You laugh. That's a serious fucking thing.
Enjoy your Thanksgiving. This has been incredible.
What was your final thought?
I was about Seinfeld. I wanted to talk. I just wanted to see what you thought, and I knew I'd get something out of you again. I always do.
Thanks for letting me crash.
You put a quarter in, you get
something. It's been good to see you.
Yeah, likewise.
We will see you guys in 2 weeks.